Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. That was not a digital glip on your radio dial. That was me trying to get used to my mouth. So I hope you're having a great day. This is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We would love to invite you out to our Wednesday night service. We do discipleship on Wednesday night, where we go through the Word of God. And tonight, I believe the study is on the nature of idolatry. The nature of idolatry. We've got a new teacher that has joined the mix. And so we're looking forward to that tonight, that we strive to make disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples. And we're looking forward to this evening. So we also have discipleship that takes place for young people. Look, being young, I think you should enjoy coming to church. I think that church ought to be a place where you can have some wholesome fun, but it's more than just a babysitting group. This is a place where people are exposed to the Word of God. And so my daughter used to do our youth ministry before she got kidnapped by her husband and moved and started serving at a church up in North Florida. She wasn't kidnapped. I'm just saying that from a father's perspective. And when she left, she asked the youth group, you know, what is your favorite message that Robin shared with you? And they would all come up with something, and they all came up with something different. And as much as it looks like young people may not be paying attention, if you boil everything down, there's something that is getting down inside of there, and we want to pray for those seeds that they would come to harvest. So my friend Tommy is our youth leader. He does a great job, phenomenal job with our youth and young adults, and want to invite you out to Wednesday night at 7, Merritt Assembly of God. They meet in the fellowship hall. They eat great. We have a great time of fellowship, and our discipleship on Wednesday night, it's a study format. We provide a study guide. We sit around tables. We provide tables for you to be able to write down notes and things like that. We would love to have you come and join us, 165 North Grove Street, tonight at 7 p.m. We're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians today. Verse number 1 says, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So yesterday we talked about the times and the seasons and making the most out of the opportunity of the season that God has entrusted to us. It goes on to say in the Word of God that there is a time that is coming when no one can work. So we need to work while the opportunity to work is still there. When I graduated college, the area of the country that I lived in, there was an economic downturn there because there had been an energy crisis. So there wasn't a whole lot of oil well drilling, gas drilling, and things like that. And that the economy of that region was negatively impacted. And in fact, there was a bumper sticker that had a prayer on it. It said, now this is decades ago, and it says, God, please send one more season of energy abundance, and this time I promise not to waste it. And so there were people who had lived with abundant jobs and things like that. Well, when I got out of college, there wasn't a lot of jobs to be had. My college degree ended up getting me initially a job delivering flowers. I ended up, after a season, I sold some shoes and things like that. Cleaned out some RVs. You may have found yourself doing a lot of preparation for a season, but that season hasn't kicked in yet. So I tell people, hey, make the most of what you can in the season that you've got, because seasons aren't forever. That's why they're seasonal. So verse number 2 says that the season that it will come upon humanity at some point in time is that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That all of a sudden, out of, an unexpected intervention in humanity's timeline, the Lord is going to make an appearance. Herod and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, weren't ready for the birth of Jesus. Society as a whole wasn't ready for the ministry of Jesus. But God describes when Jesus came as the fullness of time. God's attitude towards time is the one that matters. So just as in both of those situations, there were people who were prepared when the bulk of humanity was not prepared, causes those who were prepared to stand out from those who were unprepared. So you and I need to have a lifestyle that says, you know what, I'm going to walk with Jesus today, and I'm going to serve Jesus today, and one of these days I'm going to be serving with Jesus and walking with Jesus in such a way that that walk is going to be suddenly changed from a walk through Brevard County to walking the streets of gold. So I want to live today prepared for today to be the day that Jesus comes back. If he doesn't come back, you know what? I've lost nothing. If I walk with him today, and today is not the day he returns, I haven't lost anything. I've gained experience from walking with the King. I understand him better if I walk with him than I do if I don't. And so one of the greatest testimonies in the Word of God is in the genealogies, it talks about a man by the name of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, they went for a walk, and God said, you know what, I'm enjoying this walk so much. How about we just make this an eternal walk? And they just kept walking right on into eternity. That's a great way to do life. I highly encourage it. Here it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, suddenly and unexpectedly. And verse number 3 says this, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. The they at the beginning of verse number 3, for when they say, is the same they as the they at the end of verse 3, and they shall not escape. Be very careful about the theys that are the supposed experts in your life. They may not be prepared for what God is about to do. The they experts completely misdiagnosed the events that were about to take place. This is what the experts, the they at the beginning of verse 3 said. They said peace and safety. The reality was not peace, not safety, but sudden destruction coming upon them. Jesus talked about the man that said, man, we've lived a great life. We have stored, you know, up. Our capacity is full, so we're going to tear down these barns. We're going to build bigger barns. And God said, you're a fool. You do not realize that tonight your very soul will be required of you. I watched a video. It was a guy who was talking about his marriage. And he said that him and his wife had had a big fight, and they didn't get it resolved before they went to bed that night. And so when they got up the next morning, they were still at odds with one another. Life happens. They had to get up and go to work. And this guy said, I'm normally a pretty, you know, good, humored guy, have a lot of fun, joke on the job and everything. And I got to work that day, and, you know, everything from the night before was still weighing on me. And a coworker came up to me and said, you know, what's the matter? And he said, oh, nothing much. My wife and I, we had a big fight, didn't get it resolved, and not a big deal. I'll go home tonight, and I will get it worked out. And the man responded and said, who told you that? And the guy said, who told me what? He said, who told you you would even make it home tonight? And many times we get complacent and we think that we are never going to hit a speed bump. There's never going to be something that is going to interrupt our routine and things like that. This guy, that statement, who told you that you were guaranteed to even get home tonight? It hit him like a ton of bricks. And the guys, the conversation continued. He said, why don't you take a break and go call your wife and get this worked out so that if you don't make it home, that the last thing that they would remember isn't that you were at odds with one another, but that you had humbled yourself and you had worked the problem out. Don't you think that would be a much better way to live your day? And you know, the guy, you know, it would just hit him really hard. You know, I've known babies that were full of life and then they weren't. I've known teenagers that were, their heart was right with God. They were studying to go into the ministry and they went to a Christmas party and never saw Christmas Day. I've known people who died because of some bad life choices and never saw 20 years old. I've known people who lived decades after they were supposed to live. I can tell you this, humanity is really bad at forecasting what God is able to do. They said, the experts that they said here, we've got peace, we've got safety, we, you know, if I could extrapolate a little bit, we've got abundance, we've got prosperity on the horizon, and the experts, the theys, be they spiritual experts or social experts, were horrible failures at projecting the timeline of God. So when they looked on the horizon, they saw peace and safety. God knew that what they were actually on the precipice of was destruction coming upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Now, I've been there when the notice came, honey, it's time. The first time I told you I was, I worked 81 miles away from work before we moved here. But when our son was born, I was only working 63 miles away. And, I was working, my boss allowed me to work that in four shifts instead of five. And so I would work, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. And late into the shift on Saturday, my wife calls me and I get a message that says, hey, I think it's time. And I told my boss, and my boss, now remember, I'm an hour and 15 minutes away, and my boss said, go on, we'll cover you go. And I got home and I said, okay, let's go to the hospital. And my wife said, false alarm. It's like, okay. And I was tired because of working, you know, four long days in a row. And, by the way, we were literally living in a barn at this point in time in our life. We'd just moved to this area. They had a small little, apartment built onto this barn. And, that's a joke for another day. But, I said, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. We got church tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. And so I go and I'm fast asleep. And all of a sudden, this is 9 o'clock at night when this happens. At 11, my wife taps me on the shoulder and says, it's time to go to the hospital. And so we had gone from not time to, or from time to not time, the time in just a few hours. And I can tell you that the suddenly came very sudden. We thought we had our children fast until some of our grandchildren came along. And then we discovered that suddenly can be very, very suddenly. And I want to tell you that just as delivery of a child can come, the return of Christ comes even quicker. It's described as the twinkling of an eye. There's been some things that I've heard through the years that when they measure the duration of a twinkle, it's a microsecond. It's a fraction of a second. When the father leans over and tells Jesus, go get your bride, Jesus isn't going to hesitate. He's not going to have to be told a second time. And you and I, we need to be ready. They that were experts thought that there was peace and safety coming, but instead there was sudden destruction, and it says they shall not escape. They shall not escape. They shall not be able to flee. There will be nowhere to run. There will be nowhere to hide. There will be no place that they will be able to escape the ramifications of the return of the Lord. And so we need to be ready, because for us, that is a great and glorious day. So let me take you up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 15. It says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So there is a tremendous distinction between the future reality that believers will exist in, as opposed to the terror of a season without the presence of God when the day of the Lord comes. We need to be ready for that. It's suddenly and it's unexpectedly, and there's no escape. So this phrase, "The Thief in the Night," was the title of a movie back when I was very young, and it showed what, you know, the best that they could tell what a society after the rapture would look like. And there was a trilogy movie and things like that. And the thing about that was there were a lot of people who were shocked with that movie while the world was watching The Exorcist. The church was focusing on what a society without Christ looks like. Never saw The Exorcist, don't want to see The Exorcist, don't need to see The Exorcist. All of that sort of stuff has no interest to me whatsoever. But there were a lot of people who got scared when, you know, the book of Revelation was brought to the forefront, and all of a sudden people started talking about, hey, when Jesus comes back, you don't want to be left behind. That was the name of the series that kind of took over from A Thief in the Night. And a lot of people got scared, and so they wanted to have a relationship with Jesus because they didn't want to go to hell. But if that is your motivation, the longer you go through a delay, if you will, the more comfortable you get. And I want to tell you that fear is not the right reason, and it will not be an enduring reason to give your heart to Jesus. The reason you need to have a relationship with Jesus is because you love him and he's the lover of your soul. And so I want to go to heaven not because of the horrors of the lake of fire, but because of the wondrous relationship that we get to have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So while we are talking about this future season that has not come yet, I have to share with you that not everybody is going to experience the same thing. For believers and unbelievers, there will be a stark difference in what their future looks like after this particular season comes. One will be walking with Jesus and one will be walking without him. And one will be snatched away and others, or caught up, and others will not be able to find a way of escape. Verse number 4 says this, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." So there is a stark contrast between the children of light and the children of darkness. Believers who are not in darkness will not be overtaken by the suddenness of the day, because we're children of the day and children of the light. So I'm a light guy. I want the room lit up. If you've ever found the bedpost with your toe in the dark of night, you understand how important it is to be able to see. Years ago we had a dog that was pitch black. It was a runaway dog. Somebody had rescued it in Gainesville. The people who rescued it called it Tebow because they were Florida fans, and Florida beat Oklahoma. Danny's over here shaking his head. It's dog abuse to name your dog after a Florida player. I'm just telling you. Tim Tebow's a great guy. I don't have anything against him, but I didn't want to be naming the guy that beat Oklahoma in the national championship game. Didn't need to be glorifying that. That dog was pitch black. And one night, I got up in the living room. We were watching something on television. The room was pitch black. And as I made my way, I didn't realize that this pitch black dog in this pitch black room was in my path. And I tripped over the dog. The dog started trying to get away from me, but was retreating the same direction that I was going. He was stumbling and bumbling, and I was stumbling and bumbling, and I ended up just doing a somersault right onto the floor, and it was all because of the darkness. Let's not make room for darkness in our life. Let's bring the light of Jesus Christ to every realm of our being, and let's walk not in a stumbling, bumbling way, but in a smooth and victorious way. God bless you. You have a great day. Walk as children of the light today. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."